Innovations Podcast for Saturday, July 16th, 2006, coming to you from Sunnyvale, California. Welcome to this week's Killer Innovations Podcast. I'm your host, Phil McKinney. Before we get started, please keep in mind that the information and opinions expressed in this podcast are mine and mine alone and do not necessarily reflect those of my past, current, or future employers. In this week's episode of the podcast, we will cover the five fears of innovators, the use of external innovation networks, and the killer question of the week. So without any more delay, let's jump into this week's episode of the Killer Innovations Podcast. For all of us in the creative field, whether we're musicians, artists, innovators, inventors, all have come across or have all faced fears during the process of coming up with that next song, that new picture, or that next idea. Now, we've all faced these fears. We've all faced those doubts. We all have them at some point in the process. The key to success is overcoming those fears. And one of the ways to overcome that is just to recognize that these fears exist. So I'm going to help you out. I'm going to list you the five fears that constantly nag at me during the process or when I'm working on creating new ideas, new products, and new services. The first of that, first of the fears that I usually come across is that small voice in the back of my head that says, somebody has already done it. Well, let's face it. Nothing is ever new. Whatever you're coming up with, whatever I'm coming up with, we are building on top of the shoulders of others, people that have gone before us. We may be taking a couple of different ideas and bringing them together in a unique way, but when you really look at some of the most breakthrough ideas, they're not truly new. They fundamentally are built upon the ideas of others. So get over it. Yes, somebody has already done it, but your idea can be that unique combination. The second fear is, once executed, my ideas never turn out as good as I dreamed it. Well, face it, there are going to be errors, there are going to be mistakes, but you also have to face up that it's better to have something, even if it's imperfect, than just a dream. If you sit there and constantly focus on the fact that this hesitation that if it's executed, it's never going to quite come out as good as the dream, and if you let that fear manifest, then you'll never start the execution. Again, it's better to have something, even if it's imperfect, than just to have the dream. The third fear, I've never done this before. Or this could be slightly manifested in the, I don't know enough to do this. I don't have all of the answers. These are all variations on the same theme. You know what my response to that is? So what? If everybody waited until they had perfect knowledge, perfect answers, perfect clear path to the end execution, nothing would ever get started. The old analogy here in this case is think of it as a train sitting in New York going to San Francisco. And that train sat in New York until it had a green light all the way through the tracks going to San Francisco. What would happen to that train? That train would still be sitting in New York and it would never leave, and eventually it would rust right there on the tracks. If that train had to wait until it had a green light on all tracks from New York to San Francisco, it would never start. This is the same issue. So if you're sitting there saying, I've never done this before, I don't know enough, I don't have all the answers, so what? The fourth fear, my blank will think I'm crazy. And you can fill in the blank. Family, friends, coworkers. My blank will think I'm crazy. Well, welcome to the club. And if you had an opportunity to sit down with my kids, sit down with my wife, sit down with my coworkers and my boss, they would probably all say I'm crazy. In fact, many of you that listen to this podcast have commented you think I'm crazy. You know, given the hours I work, plus the work on this podcast, plus other things that I'm involved in, how do you do it? You got to be crazy. You got to be passionate. You got to have that drive. And if they don't think you're crazy, then you're not pushing hard enough. You're not coming up with wild enough ideas. You're not pushing the envelope. You're sitting there and trying to conform to what the perceptions of society are. So if you're coming up with the, my blank will think I'm crazy, welcome to the club. Number five, someone will steal my idea, so I won't talk about it. I'm going to keep it to myself. If you keep it to yourself, that idea is going to struggle in getting executed. And if you're constantly worried about someone stealing your idea, get over it. If it's a really good idea, you're going to have to force it on people. You're going to have to shove it down their throats. If it's a mediocre idea, yeah, people may steal it. But you got to get over this fact that, you know, you got to hold on to these ideas. You got to keep them secret. You got to hold them to your chest. If it's a really, truly innovative breakthrough idea, you don't have to worry about someone stealing it. You're going to have to force it on them. So again, the five fears that innovators, people in the creative field, always come across. First, someone has already done it. Second, once executed, my ideas never turn out as good as I've dreamed it. Third, I've never done this before. I don't know enough. I don't have all the answers. Number four, my blank will think I'm crazy. And number five, someone will steal my idea so I can't talk about it. Which of these fears are you facing today? And get over it. One of the biggest challenges that big companies have is recognizing the fact that they cannot come up with 100% of the ideas their business needs to be successful. And mature companies finally get over that fact and recognize that they have to go outside. They have to leverage an external network of innovation to feed that business for them to be successful. Companies that have locked in on they have to do 100% themselves eventually will fail. You have to go outside. You have to bridge the gap of the needs of your business for ideas and the ability of your employees to generate 100% of them. You have to be willing to go outside. Now, if you're a large company, you got to build up this ability. You got to build up these capabilities. You got to build up the systems to encourage people to contribute ideas, intellectual properties, inventions, to submit them to you so that you can be aware of them. If you're a small company, if you're a creator, if you're out there building technologies or ideas or products or services or capabilities, you need to be able to go out and find companies that recognize their need to acquire whatever it is you're creating. So if you're a large company or even a small and medium-sized company, the ability to bring ideas in, If you are a creator of ideas, you need to have that ability to get out there and present your ideas in such a way that companies can take advantage of them. Now, for this podcast, I'm just going to focus on how do you build the network? Who are likely candidates to be contributors to the network? But how do you go build the network? So in this case, how do you go build the capabilities in order to bring ideas in and to go through the evaluation process? So if you're looking to build this network, here are some of the things you need to be able to do. First off, you need to create an idea management system. You're going to get lots of ideas, both from your employees internally, but also from the outside, and you need to have a mechanism to track them, to rate them, to prioritize them in order to capture the value that you're going to generate from this network. Secondly, which is more of a courtesy than anything else, reply to everyone who submits an idea. You want to encourage this constant feedback. Third, you need to have clear guidelines and criteria. You need to be able to communicate both internally and externally to your organization the target areas of interest. Otherwise, you end up with thousands of ideas and you don't have really a mechanism to filter all those out. So the more that you can provide as far as upfront information on guidelines and criteria, you then can be able to get better sources of ideas coming in. You need to be proactive in building the network. And this network is really people that are going to submit ideas to you that you will evaluate and determine whether or not they apply to your business. So how do you go out and be proactive in building your network? Well, one is go talk to other companies. Go talk to other companies who have built networks, who've been successful at building networks, and learn from them on how they do it and who's in their network. Can they introduce you to their network? And therefore, you can actually plug into a network that already exists. Another source is go to the VC and angel investors. They have companies that are out there building new things. And your ability to leverage into the VC and angel community to where their companies can potentially sell or be acquired or brought into your organization. Another one, universities. Now, actually, there's a very interesting conversation going on in the Killer Innovations community site that if you want to join in, feel free, about how do you go about plugging into universities? What is the motivation for universities to potentially license their intellectual properties or their ideas, or the willingness of universities to work with companies in order to go off and create something new? But universities are a great source of ideas. Next, the government. Now, if you've been also tracking on to the Killer Innovation site and reading what I've been posting on the reblog section, there's a lot of work that's being done by government agencies all over the world around how to encourage innovation, encourage cooperation between government, industry, and universities and colleges. Here in the U.S., there's a number of programs that are being done, for instance, with NASA. NASA now has opening up an innovation network in order not only to get NASA technologies out into industry, but also to be a source of ideas to bring new ideas into NASA. There's cooperation between countries. So there's actually work that's occurring between the U.S. government and other governments in order to cooperate to encourage innovation around certain areas. The next area of source for building up your network is industry groups. Now, this can be things from industry associations. It could be industry standard bodies. All are great sources of other companies that you can plug in or sources for ideas. And then last but not least, individual inventors. Now, there are associations and groups that individual inventors or people who are really small companies or companies who have technologies that are services or concepts that potentially can be licensed and used by other companies can all belong to. Plug in, you need to find those companies and those individuals. Now back to the process. Once you have the idea submitted, you need to have a well-defined process. You need to be able to plug into the experts within your company to be able to quickly look at these ideas, evaluate them, and determine if conversations or next steps should be taken. Don't get hung up on doing a detailed evaluation up front. You're going to get lots of ideas. So the key here is how do you do the quick scan? In the case of programs that I've seen that have been successful, is to identify community of experts around different areas. So in my case, there might be technologies that are coming in that are, you know, wireless areas. And so there's a wireless team of 4, 5, or 6 people that these ideas or these technologies would go to, and they would get evaluated and then determine whether or not there's interest for a further on conversation. The key, though, is that you got to have a process, you got to be able to scale that process, and you got to leverage the experts that are within your organization. Now, once you've done that, one of the key things that you've got to have in place in order to build the network, because the word's going to get out fast. If your network is efficient, if you are friendly and easy to work with, to where companies are willing to submit their ideas, word will get out and you'll begin seeing the best ideas. You'll see the best technologies. You'll see the best capabilities. And one of the ways to be friendly or be helpful or get the reputation of being easy to work with is, one, provide detailed comments and feedback on every idea submitted. Don't send out the form letter that says, thanks, and if we're interested, you'll hear from us. Every idea that's submitted, provide detailed comments and feedback. You know, whether it's a form letter, you know, you see companies that do this. You submit an idea and they go, thank you very much for your submission. We will be evaluating it over the next 90 days. And if there's any interest on our part, you'll hear from us. And that's it. That's all you hear. What I have found is that if you provide detailed feedback, hey, I liked your idea. This one part of it, I was a little confused. This third part is something that we believe is already in the market, and here are some companies that we've seen that provide similar capabilities, blah, 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 blah. Providing detailed feedback. Why is that important? Because not only are you're not just looking to take ideas out of your network, you're actually providing value back to the people who've submitted you ideas. So provide detailed comments and feedback. And in those detailed comments and feedback, offer suggestions. Just don't offer criticisms. Don't just offer false platitudes. Offer suggestions. Hey, your idea is really good. If you need to spend a little more time in this one area, because we think that there's some challenges here, go work on this, come back once you've spent some more time in these areas. Or, hey, go read this, or go touch base with, you know, some other company or some research that's being done at a university or whatever. Offer suggestions. And the third, which actually seems counterintuitive, be willing to redirect to another company. Somebody comes and submits an idea and you go, wow, great idea. Don't know how we would do anything with it, but guess what? Here's a contact, name and phone number and email, and guess what? I'll even make the introduction for you over at this other company because I think that they would be the best partner for you given what you're doing. And history has proven this out over and over and over again for me is that when I redirect, if someone submits an idea, or I'm looked at something and I go, wow, that's pretty interesting, and I point them over to somebody else, that the payback I get from that is 1,000-fold. Because now I've helped that person make that right connection. If it turns and works out for them, they're not going to forget. And the next time they come across an idea that potentially is a fit for me, who do you think the first person that they're going to redirect to? So by redirecting, making those connections, being willing to facilitate, you actually get more eyes and ears out there looking for innovations that are best for you. And then last but not least, offer encouragement. You know, I've been on both sides of it. I've been both creating of innovations and looking for channels, partners, and companies to license that to. And I'm now in a role where I'm actually out looking for ideas and looking at innovations, looking to bring them into my current organization. And let me tell you, when I was out there creating ideas and creating innovations, the people who encouraged me, people who just said, you know, hey, keep it up, you're on the right path, you're not quite there, but you're close, don't give up, are the ones that I have never forgotten. And those are the people that are in my network today. So be willing to offer encouragement to other people that are out there that are trying to come up with that next killer innovation. Now, assuming that you've built this network, you're out there, you've got a process, you've got the evaluations going, you're providing feedback, you're having a mechanism to prioritize. And remember, what are the three fundamental questions that have to be answered for it to be classified really as something that you should spend your time on? First question is does this fundamentally change your customer's expectation? Two, does it fundamentally change the competitive landscape? And three, does it change the economics of the industry? You need to be able to answer yes to one of those. So you've gone through your ideas, you've applied the three questions, you now have an understanding of those ideas that are being submitted that potentially can bring huge value. Well, what's the right mix between internal ideas and external ideas? Do you focus purely in the external network applying these three questions, or do you drive the internal? Now, some of the larger companies that are out there, such as Procter & Gamble, are moving towards or operating under kind of this 50-50 rule. Their objective is that 50% of their ideas, products, are coming from external sources, and 50% are coming from the internal. That's a huge shift when Procter & Gamble used to be kind of at a 90-10, 90% internal and 10% external. And it's allowed Procter & Gamble to deliver a wider range of products much, much faster because now they're leveraging the resources and passion of a much larger community than just constrained to their employees. Now, the 50-50 number is kind of at an extreme. You're seeing anywhere from kind of 90% internal to 60% internal. And I think the right mix, and it really depends on kind of the industry you're in, is kind of that 60 to 70% internal, kind of that 30 to 40% external. It shouldn't be 100% internal, and it shouldn't be a 0% external. There's a mix in there. And if you clearly define yourself some goals and some objectives, then you can track yourself and you can measure yourself and you can see the kind of success that you can have. So remember, you can't do it alone. No matter how good you think you are, you cannot generate 100% of the innovations your business needs to be successful internally. You have to recognize that there's a big world out there, and there are a lot of really, really smart people out there. And the fact is that that becomes a source of innovations that you need to figure out how to go tap. And if you do this right and you really tailor this, now you're going to think I'm being ambiguous. I haven't given you a lot of very specific details because what I have found is this has to be tailored to your business. The criteria, how you do knowledge management, how do you do the review process within your organization, how you do your prioritization of the ideas once they've gone through their review. You need to tailor this to your business, to your industry, and to your needs. There's no one-size-fits-all. But keep in mind that the power of your network, and not only the people in your network, but the processes that you refine for your business, the power of your network could become your key competitive advantage. Many times we have a hard time seeing the trees from the forest. We get so comfortable with the product or service that we've created and that we've delivered, that when we're challenged to improve it, go back and look at an existing product or service and improve it, we only see the product or the service as one big component. But what about the pieces that make up the product? So this week's killer question is, what are the independent pieces that make up your product or service? What are the independent pieces that make up your product or service? That can be product components, services. It could be the steps that go through to deliver the service to a customer. And keep in mind, when I say product or service, remember the entire value chain. Everything from pre-sale, sales, delivery of the product, support, retirement of that product, recycling of that product, same thing with the service. So what are the independent pieces that make up your product or service? Now, once you've come up with that list, for each independent piece, replace it with other options that for instance, do the exact opposite of that piece, that do it faster, that do it slower, are bigger, are smaller. Go in and look at every independent piece, change it out, and then think about what that does to the end product. Does it make it better? Does it make it worse? Does it make it interesting? Does it make it targeted for a new customer segment? Look at each independent piece. At the same time, take out that independent piece. Think about now, what does that do to the product? Is that piece really critical? Or is it not critical? Can you take that piece out and therefore either simplify your product or service, improve the product or service, or create that product or service for a new target customer? So again, what are the independent pieces that make up your product or service? And remember, look at the entire value chain. And for each independent piece, replace it with other options. And what I mean by replaces, look at things like another option that does the exact opposite of whatever that piece is, that does it faster, does it slower, is bigger, is smaller, or just take that piece out. Now go back and think, what does that product or service look like? I was having a conversation the other day with someone who was asking for my advice on a corporate innovation program they were looking to start. And the individual asked me a common question that I get all the time, which is, what are one of the biggest risk factors when starting one of these programs inside of a medium or large corporation? And my reply, and this is, you know, something that I have run into many, many times, but my reply was, is getting people to change, getting people to take risk, to get people out of their comfort zone. John Ferry said it best, to be truly creative, you have to work beyond what you know. Pushing the envelope is what being creative is all about. Are you pushing the envelope? Are you working beyond your comfort zone? If not, go out and get uncomfortable. And if you think you are pushing the envelope and you are beyond your comfort zone, push yourself even harder. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Keep the feedback coming. You can email me at podcast@killerinnovations.com. You can also Skype me at Phil_McKinney. And feel free to send me an invite to join my LinkedIn network. If you do send me a LinkedIn invitation, please make sure to put in the email that you're a listener to the podcast. Otherwise, I will ignore the invite because I get lots of invites from LinkedIn. But if you're a listener to the podcast, send me an email identifying yourself as a podcast listener. Send me an invite. And you can send that invite to podcast@killerinnovations.com. I'll get the invite. I'll accept it. And we'll be linked in together. Sorry about missing last week. Things are getting a little crazy. The bi-coastal commute, for those of you who are new listeners to the podcast, I'm in the process of relocating from Virginia to California. The bi-coastal commute is taking up a little more time than anticipated. So over the next month or so, things are going to be continue to be a little crazy. This week, I'm going to be in Kansas City giving a speech on killer innovations. It's a closed event. So for those of you who've been tracking this on the blog site, originally I posted it as potentially an open event. It's actually a closed event, meaning it's only available to employees of Sprint. I'm going to try to record the speech and post it as next week's show. So stay tuned. Hopefully I can pull that together, and then we can I'll share that with you. So even if you can't attend, you'll be able to at least hear my comments or my speech on killer innovations. Also, last week, I announced a contest for the development of 2 audio promos. I'm looking for a 15-second and a 30-second audio promo about the Killer Innovations podcast. And the best 15-second promo and the best 30-second promo, I will send them a complete set of the Killer Question card deck. Now, the Killer Question card deck that I'm going to send you is actually modeled after the one that I carry in my briefcase. And this is basically one that I've printed out on my own printer, but it allows me to carry an entire set of the Killer Questions. Now, this may not have all of the Killer Questions that are in that I've given you with the podcast because I have not updated the deck in quite some time. So there's probably some of the questions that are in the that had been in the podcast that will not be in this deck. So I'm not going to guarantee it's 100% up to date, but here's an opportunity for you to get the entire card deck of killer questions. And in order to get those, there's only one deck that's in existence, and that's the one that's in my briefcase. If you want your own deck, then come up with, and this is your chance to be really, really creative, and create a 15-second and a 30-second audio promo. Now, if you come up with a promo idea that doesn't fit into one of these two, maybe you want to do a little video, a 15-second video. If you want to come up with something else to help promote the podcast, things that can be shared, things that can be passed around the net, whatever, feel free to submit them, and I will take a look at those. And if I think they're really, really good, then I may actually extend and create a deck for you. So here's your opportunity. Be as creative as possible. Come up with ways to promote the Killer Innovations podcast. And for your efforts, if the best ones will get their own versions of the Killer Question card deck. Now, also, don't forget to vote at Podcast Alley. Voting is the easiest way for you to tell the producers of your favorite podcast that you appreciate all the time and effort they put in. So don't forget to vote. Share the podcast with others. Pay it forward. If you're a regular listener of the podcast, you know that the effort that I'm putting into this podcast is my way of paying forward the experiences that I've have enjoyed in my career. So pay it forward yourself. If you're finding that the podcast is helpful to you, share it with others. Also, send in your topic, your ideas, your questions about innovation. I'm looking for new ideas on topics. I want to make sure that what I'm producing in the podcast is helpful to you. So if you have ideas or things that I have not covered or maybe things that I've covered that you think that it should go into more detail, go ahead and send them to me at podcast@killerinnovations.com. And with that, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.